ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ
नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय श्रीमद् भागवतम् कैंटो 1 चैप्टर 12 टेक्स्ट 20 ट्रांसलेशन एंड कमेंट्री बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी प्रभुपाद
Protector of the surrendered.
And
Yatha,
as
he,
Certainly.
Certainly.
Ushinaraha.
Ushinaraha.
The country named Ushinaraha.
The country named Ushinaraha.
Shivihi.
Shivihi.
Shivi.
Shivi.
Yashaha.
Yashaha.
Fame.
Fame.
Vitanita.
Vitanita.
Disseminator.
Disseminator.
Swanam.
Swanam.
Of the kinsmen.
Of the kinsmen.
Doshyantihi.
Doshyantihi.
Deva.
Deva.
Like Bharat.
Like Bharat.
The son of Doshyanta.
The son of Doshyanta.
Yajvanam.
Yajvanam.
Of those who have performed many sacrifices.
Of those who have performed many sacrifices.
This child will be a munificent donor of charity and protector of the surrendered, like the famous King Shibi of the Ushinara country. And he will expand the name and fame of his family, like Bharat, the son of Maharaj Dushyanta. Purport: a king becomes famous by his acts of charity, performance of yajnas, protection of the surrendered, etc. A Kshatriya king is proud to give protection to the surrendered souls. This attitude of a king is called Ishvara Bhav, or factual power to give protection in a righteous cause. In the Bhagavad Gita, the Lord instructs living beings to surrender unto him, and he promises all protection. The Lord is all-powerful and true to his word, and therefore he never fails to give protection to his different devotees. The king, being the representative of the Lord, must possess this attitude of giving protection to the surrendered souls at all risk. Maharaj Shibi, the king of Ushinara, was an intimate friend of Maharaj Yayati, who was able to reach the heavenly planets along with Maharaj Shibi. Maharaj Shibi was aware of the heavenly planet where he was to be transferred after his death, and the description of this heavenly planet is given in the Mahabharata, Adipava, chapter 96, verses 69. Maharaj Shibi was so charitably disposed that he wanted to give over his acquired position in the heavenly kingdom to Yayati, but he did not accept it. That's Yayati did not accept it. Yayati went to the heavenly planet along with great rishis like Ashtaka and others. On inquiry from the rishis, Yayati gave an account of Shibi's pious acts when all of them were on the path to heaven. He has become a member of the assembly of Yamaraj, who has become his worshipful deity. As confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita, the worshipper of the demigods goes to the planets of the demigods, Yanti Deva Prita Devan. So Maharaj Shibi has become an associate of the great Vaishnava authority Yamaraj on that particular planet. While he was on the earth, he became very famous as a protector of surrendered souls and a donor of charities. The king of heaven once took the shape of a pigeon hunter bird, eagle, and Agni, the fire god, took the shape of a pigeon. The pigeon, while being chased by the eagle, took shelter on the lap of Maharaj Shibi, and the hunter eagle wanted the pigeon back from the king. The king wanted to give it some other meat to eat and requested the bird not to kill the pigeon. The hunter bird refused to accept the king's offer, but it was settled later on that the eagle would accept flesh from the body of the king of the pigeon's equivalent weight. The king began to cut flesh from his body to weigh in the balance equivalent to the weight of the pigeon, but the mystic pigeon always remained heavier. The king then put himself on a balance to equate with the pigeon, and the demigods were pleased with him. The king of heaven and the fire god disclosed their identity, and the king was blessed by them. Devarshi Narada also glorified Maharaj Shibi for his great achievements, specifically in charity and protection. Maharaj Shibi sacrificed his own son for the satisfaction of human beings in his kingdom, and thus child Parikshit was to become a second Shivi in charity and protection. Dushyanti Bharata. There are many Bharatas in history, of which Bharat, the brother of Lord Ram, Bharat, the son of King Rishabha, and Bharat, the son of Maharaj Dushyanta, are very famous. And all these Bharats are historically known to the universe. The earth planet is known as Bharata, or Bharatavarsha, due to King Bharat, the son of Rishabha. But according to some, this land is known as Bharat, due to the reign of the son of Dushyanta. So far we are concerned, this land's name, Bharatavarsha, was established from the reign of Bharat, the son of King Rishabha. Before him, the land was known. Before him, prior to him, the land was known as Ilavritavarsha. But just after the coronation of Bharat, the son of Rishabha, this land became famous as Bharatavarsha. But despite all this, Bharat, the son of Maharaja Dushyanta, was not less important. He is the son of the famous beauty Shakuntala. Maharaj Dushyanta fell in love with Shakuntala in the forest, and Bharat was conceived. After that, Maharaj forgot his wife Shakuntala by the curse of Tangramuni. And the child Bharat was brought up in the forest by his mother. Even in his childhood, he was so powerful that he challenged the lions and elephants in the forest and would fight with them as little children play with cats and dogs. Because of the boys becoming so strong, more than the so-called modern Tarzan, the rishis in the forest called him Sarvadaman, or one who is able to control everyone. A full description of Maharaj Bharat is given in the Mahabharata Adi Parva. The Pandavas, or the Kurus, are sometimes addressed as Bharata, due to being born in the dynasty of the famous Maharaj Bharat, the son of King Dushyanta. Om Jnanati Rahandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Shakshurin Milita Yena Tasmai Shri Gurudeva Lama Shreshtanga Shakti Putra Patra Suri Rupa Mutasya Radha Kundam Jivaramo Radha Madhava Shantam Yasya Pratita Kripaya Shiva Tamatas Vaneham Shri Guru Shri Atah Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavam Sa Shri Rupam Sarvajatam Sahagana Ratanam Tam Tam Sadhivam Sadvaitam, Sadhutam, Arjana Sahitam, Krishna, Chaitanya Devam, Sri Radha, Krishna Padam, Sadhana Mantra, Sukhisattva, Guru Vaishnava Bhagavan, Kina Swarana, Vaibhini Vidasan, Anayasi Vaimita Bhantita Pura, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama. First words in the purport: a king becomes famous. All the qualities that the astrologers, Brahmins, foresaw would be manifest in the personality of Maharaj Parikshit. Combinedly assure his future fame, which is important for kings, not for rishis not for spiritually minded people. They may prefer not to be famous. But for kings, there's consideration of worldly prestige is very important. Kirtir yasya sajivati. One who has fame lives, even after they die. Was anyone in India shortly after the time of Rajiv Gandhi's assassination? Anyone there? No. So we saw posters stuck up all over India, especially in North India, Hindi-speaking area. Rajiv Gandhi Amar Hai, which means he's deathless, just after he was killed. They put posters saying he'll, the idea he'll live forever, but not that significant a figure. He's also merging into the state of being forgotten. But we see here all these characters. In this verse is mentioned Shibi Maharaj and Bharat, the son of Maharaj Dushyanta, and also in the Proverbs mentioned Shakuntala. These are famous figures. They continue to be famous for their personality, their character, and their achievements. And also others are famous, such as Hiranyakashipu, continues to be famous. But Kirtiryasya, said he, Samuel's fame continues to live, and the opposite word, or almost opposite word, just like we have fame and infamies, famous, infamous. So there's Kirti and upper Kirti. So infamous means you're famous, but not for a very good reason. And the same thing, Kirti means fame. We have Kirtan, glorification. Kirti refers to someone who is glorified, who is famous. And upper Kirti means someone who is famous, but for the wrong reason. So it's possible to become famous for the wrong reason. Sometimes people do things just to become famous. So you may shoot someone dead who's famous, and then you become famous. But that's not a very good way to get famous. That's infamy. This Kirtiryasya Sajivati, this was said by, anyone know? There in Mahabharata, anyone knows? By Karna. One of the tragic figures of the Mahabharata, mentioned in this Prabhupada, also is Shakuntala, another tragic figure. Tragic, seeing that fate was against him, as the child of Kunti, born from the sun god, he should have had a glorious future. But so that Kunti could avoid her infamy, she floated him in the water, just as happened to a famous figure in the Bible later, maybe before, I don't know. Who's that in the Bible? What floated him in the water? An illegitimate child.
Moses.
Irish Catholic. We grew up learning all these things. Moses, so it seems to have been a common strategy for disposing of illegitimate children in history. Float them in the water and God will look after them. And in the case of Karna, it was who looked after him?
Radha.
Radha, but not this one, male Radha. So he became known as Sutaputra in Bhagavad Gita. Arjuna refers to Karna as Sutaputra, insultingly. Actually, he should have been a king. He was made a king by Duryodhana, but the Pandavas always referred to him as Sutaputra to draw attention to his low birth. But Karna was a great enemy of the Pandavas, but just before the battle, he met Krishna and had an intimate, convivial discussion with him. And Krishna said, hey, you are, after all, the son of Kunti. Really? Really? Oh, really? So you can join the Pandavas and you can be the king. You're the firstborn. But Karna, he said, too far gone. Too much history gone, too much water has flowed in the river. I'm committed to Duryodhana. I can't give up my, for better or worse, I can't give up my loyalty to Duryodhana, who did so much to me. And I can't forget all the insults and rivalry with the Pandavas and so on. departed on good terms, and it was Krishna who ultimately arranged for the, practically you could say, almost execution of Karna on the battlefield, when his chariot was stuck in the mud and he couldn't get it out because of the curse of his guru, who he had, Parashuram, who he had misled into teaching him the science of fighting. And Arjuna is standing there with his arrow ready to kill Karna. He can't defend himself and get the chariot out, so he says, don't do that, that's not dharma. And what did Krishna say? You know the story very well. One of those, anyone know? Where was your dharma when you insulted Gopi? When was your dharma when you sent the Pandavas to bring him a whole lot of us? Karna hung his head and Krishna told Arjuna, kill him and separate his head from his body. And that was practically the end of the Kaurava resistance. There's Bhishma Parva, Drona Parva, Karna Parva, and then came Shalya came next as the commander-in-chief, and then that doesn't last very long. It's practically all over with Karna. Last hope. So he became famous, and he's known as Data Karna, because he's so generous. Here the example of generosity is given, generosity and giving shelter is given of King Shibi. These are the kind of things that Kshatriyas, kings, they want to be known for. In Bhagavad Gita, in the qualities of the Kshatriyas, what's that verse? Bhagavad Gita, qualities of Kshatriyas. Anyone? Anyone? No, Brahmin says, what's the Bhagavad Gita? What's the first word?
Da.
Shaoyam, Teja, Dhriti, Daksha. Then next word, Dhanam. Dhanam is Prabhupada then quotes Ishvara Bhav in the purple. Dhanam Ishvara. So charity. The king wants to be known as being giving profusely. That's a sign of, if he's very powerful, then he has lots of kingdom to rule over. If he's Daksha, if he's expert, he rules over very expertly. So he's able to produce wealth or make a prosperous situation for all the citizens. So then he has enough taxes, he can then give profusely in charity. So Karna is famous, and here Shibi is famous. He gave his own body to feed an eagle, actually a demigod in the form of an eagle, but he was prepared. Sharanya is also given, giving shelter. He should give shelter to those who are to come to him for shelter. So he was tested by Indra and Agni. The pigeon came to shelter. The king had to offer shelter, and the eagle said, "Well, that's my food. You can shelter the pigeon, but as I'm also your citizen, and I need my food. That's my food. You have to give me the pigeon." Okay. I already gave shelter to the pigeon. Okay, so what to do? They were testing him. How would he respond? So he decided, it was not predictable, but he decided to, okay, flesh. Cut my flesh to the same weight as the pigeon. A pound of flesh. You know that? You know where that's from?
Shakespeare.
Merchant of Venice.
Merchant of Venice.
Probably the Merchant of Venice. So it is Bonaparte. But it wasn't enough. He cut his flesh. So he cut more flesh, more flesh, more flesh. And it wasn't enough. So then he put himself on the stuff. Okay, you passed the test. Very good. What a test. The kings want to be famous, that is their desire. In terms of transcendental understanding, the desire to be famous is, like every other material desire, is stupid. But the kings that we're talking about here, they want to be famous not just for the sake of people will remember me, they'll put up a statue, or the pigeons will pass their excrement on. But they want to be famous for the sake of upholding the qualities, the prestige of their family line. The Parikshit, now his birth, and Yudhishthira and the other fathers, grandfathers, they want to know, is he going to uphold the tradition? It's so important to uphold the tradition in traditional families, in the higher castes. The people will know their ancestors all the way back to the original Rishi. Do you know your ancestors? Back to the original Rishi. Which Gotra are you in?
Gargya.
Well, Gargya came at the time of Krishna. Garga and Gargya, they're different. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur, they're Kayastas, which are Shudras actually. But he also, in his, I believe, Datta Kostuba, he traced out his whole family line all the way back to Chitragupta, who's the scribe of Yamaraj. Kayasta. Karan, in North India, they call Karan. So there's a point in wanting to maintain, if you know all your family, all your ancestors, you want to maintain the prestige and not let them down. You have to come up to the same standard. The Pandavas, they were concerned that Parikshit would maintain the same standard as the previous kings, like themselves. Prestige, they're interested in prestige, but their prestige comes from observing dharma. And that is necessary for a king, especially for brahmanas and kshatriyas. Upholding dharma is required. Vaishyas, shudras, yes, they also have to, but discrepancies on their part is not taken so seriously. But the kshatriyas and brahmanas, they have to uphold kshatriyas by force. They have to keep society in line, and by their personality also. And brahmanas, they have to say what is dharma, because often it's difficult to understand what is the right thing to do in a certain situation. The whole Mahabharata is full of dharma sankat, dilemma. What's the right thing to do? Arjuna's dilemma was just one in a whole series in the whole Mahabharata of Mahabharata demonstrates through the stories, through the personalities of these great characters, what is dharma by giving example, by giving the stories of their life, how they acted, how they chose to act. Always considering what is the best thing to do. And many times it's difficult to know what's the best thing to do. Should you follow your guru's order and get a vaccination for COVID? 2 years ago, raising that question could have caused a fist fight, almost. Now it's died down, but it was a really hot issue. Your guru tells you, should you follow it? What's the right thing to do? What if you think your guru is wrong? Are you allowed to think like that? Yes, we find that from Bhagavatam, we find that from Mahabharata. In the case of, again, Parashuram and Bhishma. And these are very complex issues. Life is very complex.
Anyone notice?
Life is very complex, even in a simple society, simple living, high thinking. But just the very nature of this world is complexity. Situation. The nature of social intercourse is that there will be complexity. Different people have different desires, different aspirations, different karmas to live out, which come in contact with each other. Krishna is arranging people come in contact with each other, with different karmic results which are destined to clash. What is that, Yangmita Kalihi? What is that in Kunti's prayers? Can you remember? And Prabhupada translates that. What is that? Yangmita Kalihi. Kali means quarrel or disagreement. It arises just by social intercourse. Clashes, disagreements arise. You can find that. Now we have the digital pundit. Previously, you're supposed to learn all these things. What is it? So dharma, this is another major consideration. Here we're discussing the life of Parikshit Maharaj, or the life to come of Parikshit Maharaj, by looking back at the lives of so many great personalities. That's also there in the 11th canto of Bhagavatam. One should learn from history. It's a symptom of the mode of goodness, that one looks back in order to look forward to the future. So by seeing the past, one should learn. But as is said with tongue-in-cheek, the only thing we learn from history is that we don't learn from history. The same mistakes are made again and again and again. But a person in the mode of goodness, which means a jnani from the mode of goodness, jnana, knowledge should arise, sattvam sanjayate. Well, one is sukham and one is jnana. So from the mode of goodness comes happiness, comes knowledge. Knowledge doesn't mean just book knowledge, but it means discretion, discrimination, understanding, wisdom. A king has to protect dharma. The sense of dharma is not at all present in this Western what's called civilization. It's absolutely absent. Sense of dharma. An inherent sense of there is a universal prince. There are universal principles of what should be done and what not should be done. These should be known. Otherwise, pravritincha nivritincha janana vidur asurana. Those who don't know this, they're called demons. They may know dharma. They may superficially have training in dharma. We find even the demons in Srimad Bhagavatam. And here we also, we're in the Bhagavatam, but we're covering topics of Mahabharata. And Ramayana, for that matter. So we find that Hiranyakashipu, then Duryodhana, they all had a sense of, they're all trained in dharma. And they all said, Duryodhana, when he was dying, he said, I don't regret anything. I did so many sacrifices. I ruled the kingdom according to dharma. He thought he was ruling according to dharma, but he made the major mistake. You've got everything right. It's just like you do, you're an expert in mathematics. The only part that you're not very good at is arithmetic. So you understand all the complex principles of calculus, imaginary numbers, and all kinds of things like that. But then you're poor at arithmetic, and you don't have all these things to do your arithmetic for you. and therefore you get the calculation wrong. So the same way, Duryodhana, Hiranyakashipu, they may have been very expert in understanding dharma. When Hiranyakashipu ordered Prahlad to be killed, he cited a dharmic principle that a thorn is to be removed with a thorn. This boy will destroy the whole family tradition. He was saying the same thing that the brahmanas are telling Yudhishthira. This boy will uphold the family tradition. So Hiranyakashipu also wanted Prahlad to uphold the family tradition. The only problem was that they're the family tradition of the Daityas, is that they're inimical to the Devas. And they see Vishnu as another one of the Devas. So they're inimical to Vishnu. And so they have a sense of dharma. And often they do things right, just like you find, for instance, we don't find divorce in the Bhagavata or in the Mahabharata. Maybe in Mahabharata's verse, there may be something similar, but hardly, rather the opposite. Just the opposite story, just like we have Shukuntala is mentioned here, Dushyanta rejected her, but that's a whole big story, and it's not out of the sense of divorce, but out of ignorance. He'd forgotten that she was his wife because he was cursed to forget. It says here Kanva Maharaj in the purport, but famously it's Durvasa who did that. So that's a whole story. And then the women didn't go and make a court case against the king. That would be difficult because he's the ultimate legal authority in the land. No, even actually that he has to consult the brahmanas also. It's in Vedic culture, it's quite possible. You see in the previous purport, Srila Prabhupada refers to Ramachandra, who he would have an open court, anyone could come. You could complain against the king also, if there was a valid complaint. So this sense of dharma, the kings had to uphold dharma. It's so important. Here in the Western countries, no one has any idea of that. And in India, the idea of that which was strong, even until recently, like everything else that is good in Indian culture, is much diminished now in the last 20, 30, 40, 50 years. Did you ever find that? Bhutanam yandithar kavihi. That's it.
Manne tvam kalamisharanam anadi nidanam vivum samam sarvatra bhutanam
Yeah, so Bhutanam Yamita. Dissension between living beings is due to social intercourse, what did the Prabhupada say? At the end of the translation.
Dissensions between living beings are due to social intercourse.
Yeah. So social, just naturally by people coming together, there are clashes. That's the nature of this world. Now, Vaishnavas, or transcendentalists, are supposed to be above the platform of dharma, Varnashram dharma. And the kings, such as Parikshit, they're on the... He's a great pure devotee of Krishna, but a major service he has to do is to uphold dharma in society. There are two ways of being outside of Varnashram dharma. One is to be a Paramahamsa, Avadhut, who doesn't follow any rules and regulations because he's beyond them. And the other way is to be a Mlecha, Chandala, Yavana, you're below them. And it's a great mistake, in my humble opinion, I guess I should qualify that, of contemporary Vaishnavism that we presume ourselves to be transcendental to Varnashram considerations when we're not. We have the tendency to grossly fall into Maya, which means we're not transcendental to Varnashram considerations. And we also, if we live within that kind of framework, Varnashram, as Srila Prabhupada stressed so much, then that will help us to progress toward the stage of transcendental dharma, which is Bhagavad Dharma, the stage of being pure devotees of Krishna. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu rejected Varnashram. That was the first proposition of Ramananda Rai. Varnashram acharavata purushena parakumar vishwara rati nanya shakto shakana. How is Vishnu to be worshipped? Sadhya sadhanata, the goal of life and how to attain it. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to hear from Ramananda Rai. Ramananda Rai, first of all, quoting Vishnu Purana, Shastra, very high Shastra, levels of Shastra, Vishnu Purana, very high Shastra. He quoted that by worshipping the Supreme Lord, following the Varnashram system, one can satisfy Lord Vishnu. And there's no other way to satisfy. Bhagavad Gita also says, Svakaramana tamabhyacha siddhin vinviti mahadana. By performing one's own work, which means within Varnashram, mostly the word karma we find in Bhagavad Gita, well, it has various connotations, but niyatam kuru karma tvam, always do your work. It means to perform one's work according to swadharma, according to the Varnashram system. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu rejected eho bahya, that is external. Srila Prabhupada clarified this once. He said Chaitanya Mahaprabhu didn't reject it as being bogus, but it was superficial to what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was pointing to, which is Krishna praying. But then even in the verse which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted, sthane stita, you go on hearing about Krishna within your own position. That means within Varnashram. If you're a belly dancer in a London disco, that generally wouldn't be considered within sthane stita. That's a very good situation to, I don't know, belly dancing maybe. No, it won't be out of date, because lust is never out of date, right? There's just different ways to express it. Some things are easily dovetailable into Krishna's service, other things not. So, like that being a, I don't know now, everything's changing in London every second, like everywhere else in the world. Soho used to be famous for striptease and all that. Still, probably, is it?
Yeah.
You should not, because you live here. Walk around the court, even in the daytime, the prostitutes are hanging out just in case there are any customers. So that's not a very suitable position for dovetailing in Krishna's service. Of course, we have Pingala mentioned in the Bhagavatam also. She also became self-realized, the prostitute. But it's generally not recommended. Don't quote me that I'm saying you can be a prostitute and be Krishna conscious. So this Varnashram, all these personalities are being mentioned. They're famous. They all act within the constraints of Varnashram Dharma, and they're being mentioned, these personalities are being mentioned as the exemplars who Parikshit Maharaj will emulate. They're being mentioned not for their devotional qualities per se, but for the fact that they acted ideally within Varnashram society. The king is supposed to be the exemplar of Dharma. He upholds that, and he himself personally acts like that. A king can attack a neighboring king according to Dharma. A king can and should, if he has enough strength to overcome a neighboring king, he should do so if the neighboring king is not ruling properly according to Dharma. It becomes the duty of a neighboring king to attack him and take over his kingdom and institute proper rule. This is required. Ishvara Bhav, Srila Prabhupada quotes here. That's one of the qualities of the Kshatriyas. We find in the Bhagavad Gita, before that, Krishna says the qualities of the demons, the bad qualities of the demons, Ishvaroham, the first one is mentioned. I am the controller. Ishvaroham aham bhogi, siddhoham balavan sukhi. I am the controller. I am the enjoyer. I am perfect, powerful, and happy. But then just in two chapters later, we have the Kshatriyas. They're supposed to have the quality of Ishvara Bhav, feeling like I'm in control. It's the leadership propensity, you could say. So the tendency to take charge. Some people have that naturally. Some people are natural leaders. Most people are natural followers. The idea of egalitarianism, everyone should have the same rights and be the same, but it's ridiculous from the outset. You even find cows, if they're allowed to live naturally and wander around in a herd, that they'll be the top cow. She doesn't go first. She goes number three in the line. Pecking order among chickens. Who's the top chicken? Pecking order. That means the chickens all peck each other, and the best pecker or the strongest chicken becomes the leader. Even among chickens there's a hierarchy. And we want to make it null and void or absent in humans. This misconstrued idea of egalitarianism, it derives from the spiritual equality of all living beings. But when it's transposed into the material sphere and we artificially try to make everyone equal, it doesn't work. As has been amply demonstrated by attempts at communism. The 20th century history of the human race was largely impacted by communism. It was a good idea. Sounds like a good idea, right? Everyone works according to their capacity and takes according to their need, but that just presumes that everyone's a Paramahamsa, which they're not. So the Vedic Varnashram system is also imperfect, right? Why is it imperfect? Given by God? Well, you're never going to find a perfect Varnashram system because it is for regulating imperfect people. To regulate them means to control them and to guide them in such a way that they don't submit to their own imperfections, and it helps them to come up and become purified and overcome their imperfections. The system of Varnashram is the best system. There's the greatest English man who ever lived, Winston Churchill, said that democracy is a terrible system of government, but it's the best we've discovered yet. But he's wrong. Well, he didn't discover Varnashram. But the point he's making, democracy is good, but it has its problems. So Varnashram, it's not that Varnashram society there'll never be problems. Varnashram society is required because there will be problems. If there are no problems, everyone's a Paramahamsa, then there shouldn't be problems. everyone can live just like Shukadev. In a warm climate, we don't need any clothes even. And Chirani King Patina, if you need some clothes, there's some clothes lying on the road that you can pick up. There's some, you can drink water from the stream, not recommended in most places in the world nowadays, because the streams are all polluted. Some trees give some fruit. Actually, in this country, you have to make some endeavor to live, because it's, the climate is like that. It's a more sinful birth, actually, in these cold climates. So if you go to a tropical climate, you see the trees are just by themselves, banana trees, papaya trees, jackfruit trees, they're just growing and take food. And you can just live on fruit and cows. And it's like Shukadev, he would go and take some milk from the household. There was plenty of milk. I was told in Bangladesh that in just up to a few years before I came there, and then when it was East Pakistan at the time, even at that time, you want some milk, you just ask, if you don't have enough milk, maybe you're having a festival in your home, you can just ask the neighbors for some milk. They're just giving you so much milk. It used to be in India, in the villages, you see old footage going back to the 1940s, feeling huge herds of cows, huge. Now people, if they have one of, you have the Goshala in Bhaktivedanta, no matter how many, 15 or something. Huge, huge herds of cows. People have so many cows. And then milk, and then ghee. And then ghee is for yajnas. Keeps the cycle going on. Cows are so important. So the Varnashram, that is for regulating society. It's the best system for regulating society. But there will be imperfections, because people are imperfect. And people who don't agree to follow the Varnashram system, or are just too fallen to follow, they have their place outside the village. They can come and take away dead bodies of cows, humans. Cows, the vultures will eat them. So they also, even the people outside the Varnashram system, have their, they have something to do. They have a role to play. But they're not allowed in civilized society. Nowadays, if we discuss these things, people become very upset. In India itself, there's so much problem. Mostly people, they hear the caste system, young people now, a lot of people, they don't like that idea. There shouldn't be. What is this caste discrimination? But they don't understand the principles behind it. So that has to be taught and instituted. It's a great challenge for the followers of Srila Prabhupada to do that. We're supposed to at least start it by now. So many points can be gleaned from this. As you know, Karna, tragic figure. Shakuntala, tragic figure. Love stories. In the Vedic literature, there's so many love stories in Mahabharata. Shakuntala, Dushyanta, also known as Dushmanta. In Mahabharata, Nala Damayanti, Savitri Satyavan. So these stories, and of course Sita Ram, these stories are told. So young girls will grow up hearing that and get the model of chastity, faithfulness to their husband. They learn all these things. Shakuntala is such a sad story with a happy ending, love story. It is well known, even so many movies have been made in Indian languages. Even this year there was one made, Shakuntala. You don't know because it wasn't in Hindi. Something. Why do people like sad stories? What's the answer? I see the billboards for the movies. I wonder why do people go and watch the movies? They have on the the billboard's picture of someone with an angry look on their face, or a tense look on their face, or a miserable look on their face. Just around the corner. What is that? Les Miserables or something? Why do you want to go and it's going on this longest running drama? When I was distributing books in England, they're 40 years ago, 40 more. It was still going on, and that's still going on. Why do you want to go and watch something miserable? They're already miserable. I don't understand it. But it is a rasa, right? We have also in Radha Krishna, Sita Ram. It's a very sad story, but there's Ananda Chinmaya Rasa. It's spiritual bliss. It brings out the love, the deep love of Sita and Ram for each other. And that is paralleled in these three, Naladamayanti, Shukuntala, Dushyanta. The wife is so attached to the husband, and the husband is so attached to the wife, and so many difficulties they'll go through for each other. Oh, what about the story of Harish Chandra? That's got to be the most... most pathetic story in terms of pathos. Just because two Brahmins couldn't get on with each other. And had to suffer so much. So many things we can learn. Actually, this Bhagavatam, now we have in this series of verses some mini biographies. But it's expected, Srila Prabhupada's audience in India, he was expected that they would know these names and the backgrounds and the story. Definitely Rama, who was there in the last one. Shukuntala, yes, all these they would know. And then the next generation, they learn from Amarchitra Katha, from the cartoon stories. In the little comic books, we learn all the stories from that. And now they don't know at all. Now a child in Delhi is more likely to know about Superman than Maharaj Pariksit, or even Ram for that matter. Or if they know about Ram, they learn it from some bogus new biography written by... There's a whole team of people making new versions of the Ramayana with Sita fighting against Rama. All kinds of crazy things. It's feminism, we have to show you. Women can fight just as well as the men. But they can't. Okay, now that's evidence. It's on record. I said they can't. So... all right, that's the culture that we learn, and that's the reality that we see. Bhagavatam is meant for bringing us to the platform of reality. Spiritual and material. Material is not real, in the really real sense, but within this dream, reality within the dream. There is some kind of reality. It has to be acknowledged. The Mayavadis say, Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya. Brahman is real and this world is false. But even they have to admit some level of reality. They can't deny it completely. So they speak about Vyavaharik Satya. It's conventional. You have to accept some level of reality. Even if it's a dream, there's some kind of order in it. Hare Krishna. Any question, comment, or objection? Please. Yeah.
What's the family connection of Dushyanta and Pandavas?
Oh, yeah, now you ask me to learn all the family trees. Bharata, in Bhagavad Gita we get again and again. Arjuna is called Bharata, means descendant of the Bharat dynasty. So I don't know all the names in between. You can look it up if you like. There's a whole bunch of kings in between. Anything else? Give your mic.
Maharaj, you mentioned earlier in the class about how sometimes it's possible, perhaps, even for the guru to make a mistake. Could you please elaborate on that, and what's the appropriate action, if any, on behalf of the disciple, if such a mistake is perceived?
Generally, it's said that what even if there's a mistake, you don't see it as a mistake in the case of the guru. Srila Prabhupada quoted that. I don't know where it's from, but... what is that? Jodi Nittananda Surabari Jai Tatapi Oshema Nittananda Rai. Even if I see Nittananda going into the wine house, he's still my worshipable Nittananda. And then it's presumed he has some good reason for going there, not to drink wine. Some people claim that actually he did drink wine. He was a tantric. I don't know where they got that from, but you know. But there may be a case. Bali Maharaj is the famous case. Because, well, actually Bali Maharaj didn't reject Shukra because Shukra told him to go against Vishnu. That wasn't the prime reason. But because he... Bali had given, it was the same thing as, later there came Bhishma. Because Bali had given his word, later Bhishma made a vow. And in both cases, the guru was telling the disciple to break their promise. For a king to do that is a very serious thing. And Shukra gave so many reasons. In various situations, you can tell lies, or should tell lies. In Mahabharata, we also have Krishna telling Arjuna that you can break your vow, you can tell a lie, you should tell a lie in certain circumstances. I believe it was the philosopher Kant who said, you shouldn't tell a lie even to save a life, because the principle of truth has to be upheld. But Krishna doesn't agree with that. And practically he induces Yudhishthira to almost tell a lie. The effect is that of telling a lie. But to uphold Yudhishthira's truthfulness, an elephant had to be killed. So these are all complex matters of dharma. Under what it becomes very common. What's the right thing to do? You could say, as a result of telling a lie, as a result of going against his guru, Shukra told him that now you'll lose everything. I curse you, you'll lose. He lost everything. Was it the result? Depends how you read the Mahabharata. You see, he lost everything because he offended his guru. He went against the word of his guru. But actually, he got a place better than the heavenly worlds. And he got Vishnu. He got the association of Vishnu. So in what circumstance exactly? You have to see, because life is... This is the point. We have Mahabharata, we have Ramayana, we have the Puranas, and of course we have the Dharma Shastras, Smriti Shastras, telling you do this, don't do this, do this, don't do that. But how to apply it? Because all kinds of situations arise which you couldn't imagine. Then you have to consult your own intelligence, your own knowledge, the brahmanas, they may discuss about this. They may not come to a decision immediately because things are very complex. What is the best thing to do? Well, you hear Bhagavad Katha, but then a question arises. So like Balaram, he killed the speaker of the Bhagavatam, which was considered wrong by the sages. He said, well, you're God, you can do it, so you can't actually be wrong, but it looks like it was wrong, so you better do some atonement just to show people that you shouldn't go around killing the speakers of the Bhagavatam if you don't think they offer you enough respect. So if you say under what circumstances should... Well, the circumstances are given by Bhishma. He says, what is that verse? Guru rapya valiptasya kaya kaya majanata utpanna pratipannasya parityago vidhiyate. Parityag, fully give up, vidhiyate, you must do it. If the guru is not properly situated, doesn't know how to instruct properly, is fallen into sense gratification, you should give up. And then we have further guidance in our Gaudiya Sampradaya in this matter from Narahari Sharkar Thakur in his Krishna Bhajanamrita, that you just don't flippantly do it, but you have to see, then you try to instruct your guru according to how he instructed you previously to bring it back to the right path, and then if you see he's hopelessly gone, then you have to leave him. These are complex and delicate matters. It's not a small thing. There's so many difficult things. What should you do? Your father tells you to kill your mother. What do you do? If your father, who's a highly respected rishi, tells you to kill your mother, you shouldn't disobey your father, and you shouldn't kill your mother. What should you do in such a circumstance? Kill your father, maybe. What did Parashuram do? He killed his mother. He killed his mother. But he knew that his father would be pleased with him, and his father would give him a boon, and he'd say, bring my mother back to life. And this way, everything is, bring my mother back to life without memory of me having killed her. So this way everything is kept intact. But the sons who didn't do that, they were disfavored by Jamaluddin, his father. Very complex matters. We don't know if we what kinds of situations we may have to face. It'd be very hard to say. Anything else? Anyway, you have a lot.
Okay, and until Varnashram Dharma is re-established,
until right now,
Varnashram Dharma is re-established, how do we then understand social intercourse? Intercourse is
the how to behave.
How to behave?
Society.
Like, okay, shall we listen to an adharmic father?
Should you listen to an adharmic father? Yeah, and again, it's each case has to be seen separately. And on general principle, one should not follow anyone who's adharmic. How much it's implemented, we have to see. It should be instituted. Otherwise, we're running on our, at least among our devotees, otherwise we're running our society on the template of this Rakshasa civilization. And it doesn't work. We become infiltrated with all kinds of demoniac attitudes, ideas, behaviors, Hare Krishna. All right, one more.
Hare Krishna, thank you for a wonderful...
Second, you don't have to say thank you for a wonderful class. Everyone says that. It's become just...
Well,
Become just as something to say.
That's so many good points. Yeah. Could you see Vanashram Dharma being integrated and established within our lifetimes?
Can we see it being established? It should be. Why not? The Prabhupada said it should be done right away. 50 years behind. You should do it. You do it. You're young. Join us. I'm doing something in that regard. Do it. Right? Make it your mission. Young man. The future is ahead of you. It's true for everyone, but have a life in it. Yeah. Get the microphone. There's one more question. What happened? That is, so please say, and I'll repeat the question.
Okay, I just wanted to tell that because there are so many dualities and the conceptions and all the scriptures and all the comments, it's very open ways to manipulate and all this information, and different gurus can tell different things. So it's very important nowadays to have the inner feeling and inner feeling. Yeah, otherwise you can listen.
Be careful
all
of your inner feelings.
And be manipulated.
Yeah,
easily.
You can be.
Yes.
My inner feelings are lust, greed, anger, envy, pride, illusion. I'm very afraid of my inner feelings. That's why I'm so fortunate to have accepted the Guru. Yeah, you can get in a mess with your inner feelings, or you can get in a mess with it by misinterpreting scripture. Many, many ways to get in a mess. Following your inner feelings is a very good way to get in a big mess. Unless you happen to be self-willed.
Guru Sadhana,
unless you happen to be
self-willed. Not only Guru, not only Shastra, and not only Sadhana. Three things I can
Okay,
say.
Thank you very
and
much. She's giving me Bhagavatam fast tomorrow.
Yes, I'm at this moment giving Bhagavatam class. Have a nice day.
All right, we'll leave it there. I've been wished a nice day by the great Vedic scholar, so it should come true. Hare Krishna.
So it's back to the guest, Swami Maharaj Ki.
Jai! Srimad Bhagavatam. Jai. Srila Prabhupada. Jai. 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 Jai.